listening to Good Guys Talk Back with your hosts, Nick Morawski and Pat Hester. Follow us on Twitter at Good Guys TV or on Facebook at Good Guys Talk Back.
Hey, Sox fans, welcome to episode 77 of Good Guys Talk Back. It's a fan-centric, blue-collar Chicago White Sox podcast, independent, local, really for the love of the Sox. I am Nick Morawski, and I'm going to bring in my co-host, Pat Hester, in just a second here. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, if this is your first time, welcome. If you've been with us for a while now, welcome back. You can find this podcast anywhere you find your podcasts. Simply subscribe, and every new episode will head into that inbox. Pass this podcast along to any other Sox fans you know. We'd really appreciate that. Got a lot of stuff to get to here on kind of a quiet off season, but there's stuff to really dive into here as we're really like 5 or 6 weeks away from spring training. So, without further ado, let me bring in my co-host, Pat Hester. Hello. Well,
and my friend, it's good to see you. And yeah. It is really quiet. It's oddly quiet. We felt like, as
eerie.
We talked before we started recording, you know, after the Eaton news and really after Lance Lynn, all came, you kind of felt like that we had momentum and things were going to start happening. Kind of like it was last year, where it was like, boom, this happened, that happened. We've got more things to talk about, and everybody's excited. We're doing podcasts about this new thing and that new thing. And now it's just kind of like nothing's happening. But it's not anything different than the rest of the league, really, other than the Mets and the Padres that are doing things.
That's true. Now, as we talked a little bit before we started recording, just kind of going over some notes, I think the Sox are in a situation where they're one of the few teams that actually are poised to do something this season. And by doing something, I mean getting to the ALCS, getting to the World Series. I think that's a successful season. Why not get to the World Series? I mean, I think you're always looking towards a championship every season. You know, folks are kind of lying to themselves in a lot of different ways. If you're really ready, the Sox are ready. So I thought they would be one of the few teams that would just put their foot to the league's throat after the Lynn situation, after the Eaton situation. Let me just tie this up.
Yeah.
Let me just go get our closer that we want.
Yeah.
Let me get that extra starter that Tony might want, the bat we want. And that hasn't happened. We're left with rumors, hearsay, interesting Twitter accounts that we're going to get to.
We should come up with an interesting Twitter account, I think, and start
a burner.
Things.
I mean, good guys talk back burner.
People are going to know about it now that we've mentioned it.
Yeah.
But
well,
that leads me to this thought, Nick: is how far nothing. Let's say nothing happens. Nothing. This show is about nothing. And nothing happens between now and the start of the season.
Yeah.
How far can this team get? If you did nothing, how far could it get?
This team can win the AL Central, obviously. And we're going to talk more about why based on what Cleveland's doing. This team will win the AL Central. I don't know if they've got enough depth right now pitching-wise to make it, you know, out of the AL into the World Series. You got to have more pitching depth, I think. I just don't. Again, we say the same things. You can't rely on guys like Cease and Kopech. You think they're going to be your 4-5. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case. You can never have enough pitching. There are arms out there that have a little bit more success than Cease, and especially more innings than a guy like Kopech, they could be very helpful to us. But if they do nothing, I could see them winning the Central, no problem. At least they're favored to do that. I'm worried about, you know, teams that are loading up on relievers. They're getting their lockdown closer that they want. I still think the Sox right now are sitting pretty in the AL. I'm looking at other teams that could potentially go toe-to-toe with them. We've got arms, but if this is your year, okay, this is the year, then why not go absolutely all in? Are we waiting to see if fans are allowed in the stadium? Are we are we waiting to see, you know, are we wanting these guys? And as you mentioned before we started recording, which I thought was a great point, you can kind of expand on it. Are agents saying to players, hold off, let's not sign just yet. There might be a better deal coming.
Well, I think right now, owners are using the, this is going to sound bad, but the pandemic and the fact that there's uncertainty as far as fans go, to their advantage. They're saying, hey, this is all I got, this is all I can do. And they're all kind of seem to be playing in the, not that they're, you know, in cahoots, but they're all kind of singing from the same hymn book, if you will, and saying, well, this is all I'm going to be able to do, 1 year deal, 2 year deal, we're going to be able to do this, but not as much. And if I was an agent, I'd say, you know, whoa, that thing. Let's not make any rash decisions right now. We don't have to. There's nothing that says that, you know, deals need to be signed today or tomorrow.
I understand.
Or the season doesn't start for a while.
I understand.
Even if they get signed in spring training, that could happen too. So,
this is just hypothetical, but a player's got to think about family and other things. They want to get settled in, like get to know the team, the front office, the clubhouse, the guys, the pitching coach.
If it's all about the money, Nick, what does all that matter?
No, it doesn't.
Guys are just wired to, I need to capitalize on and make as much money as humanly possible today. That's what I need to do. You look at a guy like James McCann, for instance, okay? Sure. Doesn't seem like every last dollar meant everything to him, because if it did, I think he would have held out and waited.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But he got he probably saw an offer, a larger offer than he thought he'd ever seen in his life.
And he heard what the Mets were doing.
Exactly. And it's like, you know what? Let's make this move now. I don't need to wait till I can, you know, get every last cent that might be on the table. This is great. I'm never going to be able, this is generational wealth. I'm going to sign now. I got a great situation. I catch every day. I know that. I love what I got from the White Sox. And I'm moving on.
Yeah.
Other guys are just wired differently. So, I think that has a lot to do with it. I think it's easy for us to sit here and go, how come the Sox haven't done this? How come Jerry hasn't opened up, you know, the purse up and signed guys or you know, given the green light to sign guys? But the agents have a lot to do with it, too. Because the agents could easily go, why don't you just do that? Just take it, because it's not going to get any better.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a good agent, you're gonna get the maximum amount for your players. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what agents are pushing their big guys to do.
You are frustrated. I am frustrated. I know a lot of Sox fans are very frustrated. And it's not coming from a greedy perspective. It's coming from we've been fans forever, and this is, you know, we're not expert fans, we're just diehard passion fans, and that's
I would say you're an expert.
Well, I mean, I
you're an expert in being a fan.
I'm an expert fan. I appreciate that. I would call you too an expert. I mean, we haven't been given any like official sanctions, but
I think you sign up for that at gate two.
Okay,
yeah, it's
that
like
should
you
be,
get like your first game. You ever get that? Well, you didn't get it because we're old people,
my kids
all got little certificates.
I'm
first
an expert
game
fan.
Yep, and then I think they do the same thing.
Could be something they want to just get some more some more bodies in the seats. You know, it just comes to we're 110 million payroll, something like that, as we record right now. 16th in the league. You're seeing teams like the Mets that we just talked about, the Padres, throw money around. We've seen the Phillies do that in previous years, and they're hurting right now because of that. But this organization with Reinsdorf, they can handle it. We know that they can. So let's go on the Lindor situation. What happened most recently? Cleveland ships Carrasco and Lindor off to the Mets.
Yeah.
You know, Cleveland has made it well known that they weren't going to sign Lindor.
Yeah.
Mets are doing it. They're ready to throw money around. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are excited about that in Sox world and Sox Nation because, great, finally Lindor is out of the Central. Carrasco's out of the Central. Cleveland's daunting, scary pitching staff from a couple years ago is depleted. It's pretty much gone. And, okay, the Sox are, the path to the AL Central is a lot easier. Is that the Sox really winning this Central and winning this offseason, or is it just, you know, letting other teams deplete themselves and fall on their swords and look at us now? Looks like we're leading the pack. Yeah. That's not how I wanted it, and you wanted it. It looks like that's how it's shaping up. I'm just getting that feeling right now. This team was going to be better.
Yeah.
All right, the Sox were going to be better with the extra, the maturation of Robert, Jimenez, Giolito, on and on, Anderson. They were going to get better. Lynn makes them better. Eaton, okay, sure. More depth in the outfield is great, a left-handed bat. But again, going back to what we said at the beginning, put your foot on somebody's throat here.
Yeah.
After Lindor got shipped out of Cleveland, that was the that boom, extend Lynn and Giolito. You can handle that. You can do that. I know they want to be in this organization. And then make an offer to Hendricks that he can't refuse. Like, we're winning this. Great, you left. You left the division.
Yeah.
It helps us, but we are now taking it.
I just think this, the way that they do business is, we're not going to worry about what anybody else does around us. We are going to stay focused on what we do as an organization, how we do it.
And this
is the way.
I
think it's been proven, and we talked about this before we started recording, that regardless of who they decided the manager is going to be, how the plan has come together, Rick Hahn being the GM and having a louder voice, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
We are going to do things in an order and a fashion in which we're going to do them.
Yeah.
And
that's the frustrating part.
Our fans think,
sure,
if we think we're cheap or not. This is our vision, this is our plan, and we're going to execute our plan, come hell or high water, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. It seems to have been wrong for too long.
Yeah.
And we want them to change, but it's not going to change because that's just the way that they're going to do business. So whether Lindor gets traded and Carrasco goes away and
Cruz doesn't sign with Minnesota,
it doesn't matter,
sure,
about that, because their timelines are not the same as our timelines as far as when we're going to do things as far as an organization. So, again, they may have tried to do something or they've been trying to do something with Hendricks to get this deal done. It hasn't been done yet. It's probably, if I was to guess, just a guess, I don't know anything. I'm just a good fan.
You're not Cheesy Beef.
I'm not Cheesy Beef. I'm not Al's Cheesy Beef. I'm guessing it's over the 4 years.
Yeah.
And if I'm Hendricks' agent, I say, this is what we want. We will wait until we hear the right number. And in reality, there may not be another team out there that's willing to give them the 4 years yet.
Sure.
And maybe that stuff happens. Maybe there will be teams that give them the fourth year,
mm-hmm,
when it's figured out if there's going to be fans in the stands to determine what the budgets are going to be.
Sure.
So the other the dance partner isn't there, may not be out there yet. And all they're hearing is maybe an offer from the Sox, 3 years for this.
I want the Sox to force the dance.
You
know, you might not be interested in dancing with me, but we're going to make an offer where you don't even want to wait for another partner. You better jump on this now.
Yeah.
We want to dance with you. I think you want to dance with me. I don't know why.
Nick, you dancing is something that just takes me back. Just thinking of you wanting to dance with people is an inside joke.
I was not secretive about it. I'm like, you want to dance? I want to dance. Let's dance. Decide now. Okay. So, okay. The Padres also, you know, doing some crazy stuff. They're loading up. And, you know, Padres not in American League.
Mm-hmm.
Not anywhere near our division.
Yeah.
But why are fans angry? Or are you angry?
I think they're just going to always be angry about the Tatis deal and what we ultimately got in return for that. And at the time, you trade away a 17-year-old prospect, you don't know what he's going to be. You don't know what he's going to turn into. And obviously he's turned into somebody that'll probably haunt us as the worst trade that our organization has ever made. So you look at a team like San Diego, it's like, come on, you're San Diego. Do you really care about baseball? Or, you know, you've got other things going on in the world.
Yeah.
And it's cute.
They've been butts of a joke. Yeah.
But, you know, we're Chicago. We should be doing this a little bit
and
better.
We've been ramping and preparing this since the fall of 2016, carefully making moves. And I get it, you can't get everybody here, but the Padre effect is frustrating to me is because they, and maybe, you know, I don't know what their prospects were like that they sent over, they're playing with, and the Sox had in their stash years ago. But they played it like, man, that's what I wanted the Sox to play. It's not, I'm not saying give away the farm, but when we, when guys like Fulmer and guys like maybe Collins and that had a lot of upside, like they're burned now.
Now that
you know they're burned.
their equity in stock is the. Or was, you know, you're talking about other guys.
Yeah,
but
Berger is, you know, I hope that guy comes back and he mashes and he, you know, he makes us all believers. But those guys, it's done. Yeah. They're burned. Their cards are burned pretty much.
You look at a guy like Berger, that he's a third baseman. There's a log jam at third base. You know, you would imagine that Johan's not going anywhere.
Well, I'm looking at
soon.
Guys like Kelly and Stever, and you know, I think Crochet seems to be untouchable, as he kind of should be right now. Yeah. But you know, the Padres, that situation is why I think the Sox are frustrated. It's like I think now you can't really do it.
Yeah.
But a few years ago, maybe a year ago, I think you could have done it, you know, and even with Kopech, and I know that's sacrilegious to a lot of people. Like, how could you even think about? But you got to pay to play, man. Yeah. You have got to pay to play, and I'm tired of waiting on some prospects to pan out that just aren't going to pan out. You know, go after some proven talent when the bell rings, and the bell is ringing right now.
Yeah.
So that's where I think. I understand that. Like, we shouldn't worry about the Padres. We shouldn't. That shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah,
again.
But you want your. I think the problem is too. We want our organization to be aggressive, and pay, and be a desirable location for free agents. And right now, we're just not that. Because that's what we long for. Whether they have our you know, one of the best players in the league that used to be, you know, part of our organization or not. We long for the days that somebody's going to be aggressive and go after it all the time.
I mean, what they did with Dunning, I wanted more of those. You know, that was to me perfect. It was here's a proven you know, arm that is going to really help us late in the year into the postseason. Dunning's not there yet.
Yep.
You know, if it was 2018, hold on to Dunning.
Yep.
He's just not going to do what we need him to do right now. I thought that was a brilliant move, and that should have been done a couple years ago. So, besides watching other teams, you know, make moves and frustrate us as a fan base, or at least you and I specifically, we don't have a lot to go off of as fans in terms of consuming information. And you've got, folks, if you're not on Twitter, that's wonderful. You've saved yourself a lot of problems and a lot of time. But I get it. You know, Twitter can be a great place. You can raise money for different, you know, organizations right now. It's for good. And, you know, you and I, we use the Good Guys Talk Back Twitter handle and to promote some of our podcast stuff, but also just for the love of the Sox. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of other independent, you know, podcasts are doing and folks that are writing articles about the Sox. It's for the love of the Sox. Like, let's start a conversation, take this back, talk with your buddies, talk with your family, talk with your coworkers. Hopefully what we're doing here with this podcast lives on somewhere else in your world as a listener, and that you can bring these topics in and exchange this. Well, a lot of, you know, Twitter handles, a lot of accounts are doing the same thing. Hey, we're having conversations. It sometimes goes negative. It sometimes goes in a really bad, dark place.
Yeah.
One of the accounts that has been getting a lot of buzz centers around Al's beef, Al's cheesy beef. It's, you know, and there's an Al's beef Twitter account. There's a Portillo's hot dog account, you know, and they seem to be like Sox whisperers. And, this is where there's not enough information out there for us to go off of. So anything that we think, you know, that could be legitimate, we hold on to. Do you, Pat? Do you follow this handle?
I didn't even know Al's Cheesy Beef until you know, recently. Until the Liam Hendricks, I think he was talking about, really confident. I think it was the last thing that Al's Cheesy Beef.
And
one of the last things.
And let me
really confident about. Go ahead.
Let me lay the foundation just a little bit more. If you're not unfamiliar with this Twitter account, it's somebody that, you know, I think has ties with the Sox organization or seems to have an in on what's happening and all these decisions. doesn't want to use their real name, maybe can't use their real name, swearing that it's legitimate, you know. They're just trying to, you know, fan the flames of Sox Nation, and that's where this account's coming from, okay? I personally, you know, I tune in, I listen to what this person's saying. I'm sorry, go ahead. I mean, how much have you...
I'll tell you what, after I got burned by not the real Steve Cishek... I kind of am more interested in hearing from people that I feel good about, a Buster Olney.
Okay.
Or a Passan.
Sure.
You know, Bob Nightingale, which I think...
The Sox Whisperer.
You know, the person you don't want to listen to is
Bob
Nightingale.
He could be behind this.
He could be Al's Cheesy Beef.
He could.
By day, he's Bob Nightingale. Right. By night, he goes out as Al's Cheesy Beef and defends White Sox Nation against the forces of evil. I don't understand. We're gleaning to things that maybe aren't real because we want them to be. They're pacifying the White Sox fan base by saying, oh, I'm a real person.
This is what I'm hearing. And it could be, you know what? Who am I to say that something's illegitimate? You know, if it's for the love of the Sox and you truly are, you have some sort of information.
I say show yourself. Show yourself.
Yeah, something out of Batman. Present yourself. Stop hiding behind the cape and cowl.
I've taken off my makeup. Yeah. Now it's time for you to take off yours.
Brilliantly done there.
Yes.
I am somebody, and maybe folks that can relate that are listening, that I will consume as much Sox information on a daily basis as I can, whether it's Bleacher Report stuff, CBS Sports Chicago, The Athletic. Anybody that talks about the Sox, whether you're a burner account or what, on social media, or whatever I can get out of the Sun-Times and the Trib, I am consuming it. And then, you know, it's like, okay, how much do I really want to pay attention or invest?
You got to put it through the Nick filter.
I do. And that's a problem. I have a problem. I am an addict with the Sox and with other things. I have that personality. And I know not everybody's like this. You know, I'll talk to other folks and they're like, I don't really, you know. If it's, hey, whenever it happens and I'll read into it. Where I want it at, like, the ground level, like those infancy stages of the rumors. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the other places that we get our information, because we just have to, is NBC Sports Chicago.
Yeah.
Your Garfines, your Dubers,
McGuffrey,
they kind of have a monopoly on Sox information. And I firmly believe that they are putting out things, articles, whatever they put on their podcast, on what the organization, the Sox organization, wants us to hear. Do you get that feeling?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I mean, they've got the White Sox organization as equity in NBC Sports. So why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they want to have control of the message and have a couple puppets, and they're the puppeteers?
That's what it feels like.
And I love Chuck, but he seems like he's turned into the ultimate puppet.
Yeah. You know? And what he has done, like, I love what he has done over the years with, you know, having the interviews that he's had. He has access to stuff that no one else has. And hey, that's all we had for a long time.
Yep.
But when we want to get, like, an inside scoop, I feel like there's a twist to it.
Yep.
You know, what Duber writes and what Garfine sometimes writes, it's like, are you just talking for the front office to get us excited about something that we don't really want, just to test the waters?
You follow the money. Follow the money in life, and that'll give you everything you need to know, right? Okay? The Sox, the organization has a lot of equity in NBC Sports Chicago.
Yep.
NBC Sports Chicago pays, you know, Chuck Garfine's salary.
Clickbait.
Again,
it's clickbait.
Follow the money, and it'll lead you to the answers that you want.
And I get it. They've got a job to do, and they're being told, I'm sure, by the organization, like, this is what we want. This is the angle we want you to take on these things. Don't mention this stuff. Feed them down this road, because that's where we're kind of headed. I get it. They've got to take their orders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, in the grand picture, we have something at least to pacify us during the off season and during the season. I love their pre and post game.
Mm-hmm.
I love having Ozzie around. He's got a refreshing take, to say the least. but I think what ultimately I'm saying is just like there's a frustration over what's legitimate, what's not legitimate. I know this is part of my problem where I take everything and I consume it. I need to probably step back a little bit, but I can't, so I won't.
Yeah.
But that's where we're at right now in these winter doldrums, is listening to these accounts. Are they bogus? Are they not? I don't know. But you're holding on to things, like you had said, because you want it to be true. You want what I'm hearing about how they're so close on Hendrix to, like, refreshing every 5 minutes, because I want to be there when it actually happens.
I'll wait till somebody like Passon says it's close, or it's.
Would he say it's close? Do you think? You think we'd get it from close? Maybe he sometimes says like it's an impending deal. Like we've heard about.
Tatis's, I'll wait for the pending thing before. Yeah. That's what I'll look for. I think the other stuff is just fluff.
Yeah.
I honestly do.
I'd
love to, because I think what I got caught in the past doing is exactly what, you know, we talked about earlier, was watching what color hat somebody wears.
Oh, that was part of the whole week of, you know, the week of weird, like this blurry, grainy hat that was in
it's
a
like
mirror.
A picture of Sasquatch.
Yeah, if you hadn't seen this, there was a photo released of Liam Hendrix, I think, working out at a facility or whatever is going on, and he had like kind of it looked like a Major League Baseball hat with the insignia, with the logo, and it was black and white, and oh, watch out. And that's what happened when, you know, Machado was supposed to come to the Sox. Yeah. There was pictures released of what his baseball glove looked like that he was going to be using out in the field. And it was black and white and silver. We fall for it because we want it to happen. It's like I'm basically, I'm hosting a therapy session right now, Pat, and I'm answering my own questions. I am the therapist, and I'm the patient, and I don't know if that is helpful.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. Don't mess with Texas. That's all I got to tell you. As the great George W. Bush would say.
Here's some more chum in the water. Latest Major League Baseball power rankings put the Sox at 6th. Now, that's the kind of stuff that starts getting you a little excited.
Yeah.
And Twins are 5th, though. Does that pan out to you?
You know, I think they get the automatic nod just because of what they've sustained over the past 3-4 years or so, as far as being maybe last 2-3 years, not 3-4.
We handled them pretty well last year.
Well, we did.
But, you know.
But it is what it is with the Twins. And you know, when you go as long as we have between playoff appearances, then I think they're going to get the automatic nod just because of a more consistent organization over the past lifetime of our lives.
It's a body of work, a portfolio, resume?
I don't think it is, but I think they get the benefit of doubt, if you will, because of that.
Have they gotten better?
When you're looking at a power rankings type of thing, you know, it's like it'd be voting for an all-star game, right? It's, this guy's, you know, really probably not the best center
Gold
fielder.
Gold gloves, too. That happens with that. Yeah.
But you know, over his career, so he's going to get the nod. So that's kind of how I look at these power rankings. And what is a power ranking? Power rankings don't do anything at the end of the year for me. I mean, are we, you know, do we have banners for power rankings? Oh, we're number 6.
You know what? We've got so much space in the stadium. We should have banners for winning the offseason. We should have banners for, you know, the greatest moves on paper, you know, and power rankings. If we ever get to number 1 power ranking, we should boast that.
That's a great slogan. Greatest moves on paper. We're like the greatest show on turf, but now we're the greatest team on paper.
You know, you got enough time during the season to put out a few more bobbleheads. Put out like the greatest on paper moves bobbleheads, like a Samardzija bobblehead.
Just a big scroll with a head on top of it of some sort. These are the greatest moves.
I look into it, for me, it's just, you know, for the fan base. It's for the excitement of the fan. I think it drums up the fan base as we approach spring training.
Don't get me wrong, I'm happy to be, you know, in a power ranking in the top 10.
But you're not getting too, you're getting too angry.
No,
about
because
it.
I'm not going to get angry over our rival in the division being ranked one slot better than us. You know, what matters is what happens on the between the lines when the season starts, and that's really
I'll tell you
what I care about.
Another reason why I'm kind of aggravated that Lindor and Carrasco got out of the Cleveland before this season is I wanted the Sox to destroy the Indians, this or Cleveland's baseball team, whatever they're going to be called, yeah. After what happened towards the end of last season, where we just got embarrassed.
Revenge? We're
just kicking a depleted team. Yeah. You know, I wanted to get them on their best and say, you know, we're back for you. We absolutely laid an egg.
But, Nick, that's not what it's all about. At the end of the day,
why can't it be like a Rocky movie or like a superhero movie?
Yeah,
why
I understand
can't
that.
Do you understand where I'm coming from? I want revenge.
You want to be beating people up. I understand that.
That's where the power rankings are.
Well, what matters is getting to the tournament and winning more than one game this time. That's what matters. Yeah. It doesn't matter about power rankings. It doesn't matter about...
Is there going to be a banner at the stadium for our one playoff win in 2020?
It was in Oakland, after all.
It was. I
would be there for the ring ceremony for that.
Can I take you back just a little to that?
Yes,
after that
back.
First playoff win?
Mm-hmm.
How excited? Just to feel a little bit good right now.
And to make yourself all kinds hurt, of excited, as your former, cohort in the booth would say, I'm sapped. For those of you don't know, Nick used to do play-by-play back. What year was that?
Oh, my goodness. That was Guillen's first year, I think, 2004.
Yeah. You had auditioned for an alternate play-by-play, and people could hit the sap button.
Yeah.
And you'd watch the game, you hit sap, it wouldn't take you to the Hispanic or Spanish
secondary
speaking.
Audio program.
There you go. And there was Nick Morawski, and who was the partner?
Pat Reedy, my good friend Pat Reedy, Eric Collins.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So all kinds of excited. I give to him. That was his.
That was Fox Sportsnet right before things kind of switched.
Yeah. So you've and I tried too, and I failed miserably. It did not work out well for me.
I've been talking about the Sox for a while.
But anyway, yes, take me back to that game we won. I mean, it felt like it was a best of three. You won the first one. You figure with what we
especially
had as a
Keuchel
1-2
going,
punch,
especially with Keuchel
you
going.
Felt really good about it. You felt really good about it.
And then what happened in game three is why we continue to talk about pitching. Why we continue to talk about pitching depth. And Lance Lynn is going to make a huge difference. It's going to take the pressure off of guys like Cease and Kopech. Whatever we can get from them, we'll get from them. But if you bring in another guy, maybe like an Odorizzi, maybe like a Quintana, I think you do. You're not going to break the bank on those kind of moves.
Yeah.
You're not. They get their place right now.
You just want to feel like you've got quality depth from 3 to 5 or from 4 to 5, really, in the rotation. And I get that. I look at the potential and what we have in the guys that we, that are here. And I kind of get giddy about that a little bit, bringing Jose Quintana back doesn't really get me giddy. I want to see the guy that's going to throw 150 miles an hour.
We have to believe in the beef. We have to believe in cheesy beef that we are going to get Hendricks, and he's the attitude maker. He's the guy that we want. Can I tease you with two other things
get you
giddy?
Do you have feathers, or what do you have over there?
Bleacher Report.
Yes.
10 early predictions.
Legit thing, yes. I believe
10 early predictions on this upcoming Major League Baseball season. Number 9, Sox make the World Series.
Oh, he made it in the top 10 there. It's a real legitimate thing to talk about. Get to the World Series.
They get to the World Series.
They don't win it. They have the Padres winning it, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
that makes sense at this point.
So
sure.
None of the reason for us to hate the Padres organization.
Yeah.
What
would
that
though.
Be like? What is
oh,
that?
Sure.
Wouldn't that be something to behold?
Do you read anything into that? I mean, again, do you see us going to the World Series right now?
I see anything happening once you make it to the tournament is a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this team can go that far. Of course I do. I believe it. I think they've built everything they've done over the past 4 years has led them to that opportunity. So, yes, I think they're a legit World Series contender.
Yeah.
they are probably not the favorite, but yes, they can make it. Yeah, yeah, of course.
These are all things that I have seen on the internet this past week. CBS Sports news article: Sox are best team in AL. And no reference of Kopech in the article, which I like, because a lot of people try to say, oh, well, and they've got Kopech. You cannot use Kopech as a legitimate factor. Whatever you get from Kopech is going to be a huge bonus. I'm going in with the mindset that we're not going to rely on him very much, especially at the beginning of the season.
Just pretending he doesn't exist.
Exactly. And if he magically appears and does something for us, it's like, wonderful. Great. So this article was Sox best team in the AL. And again, this is early because once Hendricks lands or Springer lands, whatever happens.
But isn't it interesting between the different outlets that you have one person saying best team in the AL, and yet in another organization, they're not even
power, sure.
The power rankings.
Sure.
We're not even ahead of the Twins.
Yeah.
So how is, again, everybody's got different opinions, but I think a lot of these things are done so people continue to click on different things.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, and how much real energy should I put in to somebody from the East Coast writing an article that probably has never really followed this team, but just sees, oh, they've got a lot of talent.
Anything that comes out of the East Coast to me is garbage anyway. I'm not a big fan of anything on the East Coast.
Speaking of coasts, hopefully in about 5 or 6 weeks, the Sox head west, not necessarily to the coast, but far enough.
You are a teacher after all, Nick.
I know. I'm very well that Arizona's not necessarily on the coast. Do you think that's going to happen? Are we starting on time, do you feel? I mean, just following.
I feel like it seems like it's an inevitability and it'll be without fans. And
I think
gonna
so.
Start,
I think
time.
So. And what we've heard, you know, from folks that live in Arizona is it's bad.
Yeah, it is bad, but they don't care.
You're right. That is, you hit it right there.
They could care less about anything that's going on. They're going to party without masks on, and they're just going to live life, and that's, you know, that is what it is. But but the teams that go out there are obviously going to have restrictions, and they're not going to allow.
You made Arizona sound like it was just out on international waters.
I have
like
a couple
lawless,
people I know that live in Arizona.
Lawless,
and
run by pirates.
Yeah, it's a place I love to go, love to visit, but it seems like they've become a little bit reckless with the way that they're handling a global pandemic. But that's for me to talk about at this.
No.
That's another podcast for another day. But yeah, it seems to me like it looks like all systems go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're talking about it. It seems I've heard more that recently that would lead me to believe that it's going to happen and start on time.
So players have to sign.
Yeah.
You know, players have to sign somewhere. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of promising things. You know, I'm getting excited about that. You and I both are trying. We're trying to get out there if it happens. I mean, I've been starting to get some details together on how to get out there. It can happen. It can very well. I see a path.
It's like a horse and carriage.
I see a path on how that can happen.
Wagons west.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, let's go. I think the season will start. It will start on time. It may not involve fans, but you know we're watching today. We're recording today on Super Wild Card Weekend, and the
super.
Tennessee Titans had, you know, I think 15,000 fans in their stadium
that's true.
Today.
Yeah,
not every NFL stadium has fans. I believe the Chiefs, you know, are another team that'll have fans in the stands.
Yeah.
So, again, it seems to me like it's going down a path of there will be eventually fans in the stands. It sounds like, you know, from all your kind of consuming that. A vaccine will be more prevalent as we get into the June and July time frame, is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to operate maybe on a cautious to begin the season, but they want to start the season off.
Yeah.
And the players want a full season. They want a full season of game checks.
Of course. Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know.
All right. Well, you know, there's so much more to dissect with, 5 or 6 weeks left to go. Hopefully the next time you and I talk, Pat, we talk about Cheesy Beef being right on
Let's get Cheesy Beef. Yeah, I'm going to put it out there right now for Cheesy Beef, if you're a listener.
Yeah.
Please reach out to Nick or I on Twitter.
We'll try to make him or her, hopefully it's a person, well aware that this is, we're highlighting this Twitter account.
And we'll keep you anonymous. Yeah. You can come in a
We can do that whole voice modulation thing that they do when folks are in the witness protection program. Yeah. hold that thing up to the throat like if you're a wrestling fan, Kane used to use when he was talking to Undertaker. We can do something like that.
Awesome. Yeah. Yes. Okay. We'll keep everybody. Okay. And anybody else.
That's the real Steve. Everybody will see
C-Shack. You want to come on and talk to. And we'll keep everybody's secrets here.
Yeah. It's true.
Just come on and say, I'm a legit person. Yeah. And then that would be great.
Folks, thank you so much once again for spending some time with us, listening to some Sox takes. Hopefully, you pass this podcast along to any other Sox fans. You can find it anywhere you find podcasts. Subscribe, listen everywhere. And we do hope you pass it along. Keep these Sox conversations going with coworkers, with friends, family. It's really for the love of the Sox that we're doing this. You can find us on Twitter at GoodGuysTB. We also have a Facebook page like that as we post things from time to time. Until next time, though, Pat, I think we're going to sign off and just pray for maybe some concrete news next time we talk.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath.
Sure.
I don't think news is going to be happening anytime soon. Okay. I think it'll be a little bit.
I'll try and
talk you through it.
Please do, because I'll be locked in tomorrow morning.
Just gnashing your teeth and wringing your hands over non-moves that are being made. But
yeah, there might be like a Pork Rinds Twitter handle that comes out or something. Or who knows? I'm on it. I'm all over it.
Malort. Malort, there you go. Chicago.
That's the next one.
Cheesy. Yeah. Hot dogs.
Yeah, deep dish.
Without ketchup.
Yeah. No ketchup.
.org.
All right, Pat Hester. So great always to talk Sox with
you. Buddy, good to talk to you.
All right. For Pat Hester, it's Nick Morawski. Until next time, go Sox.